Thank you for subscribing to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. With our vision for the year being stronger and stronger, we pray that this message strengthens and equips you for the work of the ministry that God has called you to. Let's join one of our pastors now.
Most of you know my heart as pastor of Christian Ministries. We are a discipleship ministry. That's what we are. With having a Christian school, an intern program, with what we do on a weekly teaching basis, we do a lot of teaching. A lot of teaching goes on here. And I think it's very important that we have those times of teaching. From the beginning of the church, my heart has been to train and to equip God's people to do the work of the ministry. I think that's the role of the church, to equip God's people to do the work of the ministry. Ephesians 4 is very clear about that. And so I don't want to miss our role as a church. Our role as a church is to equip. And so my concern and my thought is every week, is what we're doing equipping? Because if we're not equipping, let's just go home. The church is to equip God's people. And so my heart every week is to equip and to grow. I got to tell you, I'm continually more and more amazed when I find out that people are Christians and nothing I see in their life resembles what I consider a Christian to resemble. It's just an amazing thing to me. See, I want and my desire is to walk as a disciple of Jesus. And what I love about that is I got a church full of people who share that heart. We share the heart of wanting to walk like Jesus. If you are a child of God, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you plan to become a disciple, a follower of Jesus, you've got to make some effort. But I'm seeing continually people getting saved and then no effort. I mean, they did all they could just to get to the point of, okay, God, I accept what you did on the cross. Forgive me of my sins and save me. Now, that's very important, so I'm not putting that down. It's very important. But then after that, that's it. I've arrived. I have no... And so we just talking to people. This week, it seemed like I answered this question two or three times. If so-and-so is living this lifestyle, but yet they remember a day and time they gave their heart and life to Jesus, do you think they'll make it to heaven? I don't know if you've ever been asked that question, but I've been asked that question a lot. And here's my point that I'm trying to make, and is I'll just tell you what I say. I am glad that I'm not appointed as judge. But I can tell you this, there is one who will answer that question. And I would do my best to lead them to him as quick as possible. See, were they saved? Were they not saved? Can they lose their salvation because here's what they did? All of this. I'm not getting caught up on that. What I am getting caught up on, if you're not saved, you better be saved. If you're not sure you're saved, you better get saved. If you don't know if you're going to make it to heaven, you better get saved. See, if you don't know Jesus, let me introduce you to him because he's the greatest, most powerful, most wonderful, wonderful thing that ever happened in my life. He is awesome. And what I'm here to tell you is, let's not try to, am I okay, am I not? Let's just get okay. Let's get okay. Well, what do? You pray for them, go minister to them, share how awesome Jesus is. And see, after you are saved, you are called, let me just put a more serious word here, you are commanded to be involved with the process of being like Jesus. It's a command. Romans 12, too, if you have your Bibles this morning. Great and powerful scripture that you probably many here have memorized. Romans 12, 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. That who may prove? You. That you may prove. Well, I don't know. I know the life I've lived. And let me just tell you, you can prove the will of God in your life. And you have a part in this. This is very important to understand. God is concerned about our actions, yes. But he's also concerned about our thought process. See, by the renewing of your mind. So how do you get transformed? Well, the first thing is you got to get saved. You got to get saved. Now, I understand today that I am talking to a whole audience full of people who know Jesus. But if by chance you have never been introduced to him or you're wondering if you're going to make it, let me just tell you very clearly, the Romans road is as clear as could be. It's not hard. It's a commitment that you make to get on the process. I'm going to be on the process of Christianity, because Christianity is a process. All the time, working. But to introduce yourself to that process, you got to get saved. And how that happens is Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is what? It's death. But the gift of God's eternal life. Are you going to make it? The gift of God's eternal life. The wages of sin is death. I don't know. Are you operating under the wages of sin, or are you operating under the new life that God created for you? I don't know. Romans 6:23. If you're wondering about that, it's very clear what you're supposed to be doing. And Romans 10:9 says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you'll be saved. And you'll be saved. And I just think it's very important that we share that and make sure that we understand God made a way. He died, he was buried, he was resurrected for us to have new life. And it's the exact example of what we are to do. We are to die to the old man, bury that dude, and then raise the new life in Jesus. It's perfect picture of salvation as symbolically explained in when we go get baptized. We're saved from hell. But let me say this. You're saved from a lot of things on earth that would have been your experience had you not known Jesus. See, there's a lot. Salvation is a big deal, but we've just made it just so that we can get into heaven, and then we say, okay, I'm good there. And then we live our life however we want, and we get to a point where we go, I wonder if I'm saved. Well, I don't know. Let me tell you who Jesus can be in your life. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Are y'all with me this morning? It's going to be a good day. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it's even more important. Now that I'm away, it's more important that you follow my instructions. Here's what Paul said. He says, work hard to show the results of your salvation. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. Let me say it away. Another translation reads it because it's very important. It says, work out your own salvation. With fear and trembling. Work it out. Show the results. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Pastor, I'm just having a tough time. Well, then let God work in you. Because he can give you some desire, he can give you some power to make it through this. See, there is work to do. And here's what I want you to catch in this verse. Both you and God are in the life-changing business. Both you and God. See, both of you are doing this together. You work hard to show the results of your salvation. And he's going to work hard in you to give you the desire and the power to do it. I just love that. It's just so big and so awesome. Many of us talk as though we have been saved and we've arrived. Are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. And we only look at salvation in the past tense. We only look at it in the past tense. Now, all of that was paid for in the past for you right now. But here's what I want you to know. There's work for you to do, and if you just get saved and you just talk about it in the past tense, in some ways it alleviates your mind from having to think about what your responsibility is in the future. Now think about this. Salvation is something that has happened in the past. If you accepted what Jesus did on your behalf, I mean died for you, salvation is something that happened in the past. That's true. But it's also true that the Bible speaks of salvation and gives you a very clear picture that it's a continual work. Work out your own salvation. What in the world could that mean? I'm already saved. You are. But you're talking about it in one tense. Let me just say it like this. I have been saved. I am being saved, and I will be saved. Now I'm getting really deep. Are y'all clear? Salvation involves my past, my present, and my future. It involves all three of those things. From the moment that I accepted Jesus as my Savior, something changed in me. One is my past is no longer held against me. My present all of a sudden becomes available for a desire, and my future all of a sudden has power to equip me to make it and to be able to accept whatever happens and know that God's bigger. Today, something is changing. Tomorrow, something will be changed. Come on, have you ever thought, okay, I'm doing pretty good, and then wham, you realize you're not? I've been doing pretty good, and then, whew, I thought I was stronger. I've been reading my Bible reading every day, and oh, this is throwing me for a loop. If we understand salvation to be a continual work, now know this, you can't work to get it. But it's a continual work. Then you're supposed to be working on what Jesus said you could and would be. There's work to do. That's why you're sitting in church this morning. See, I'm sitting in church this morning because there's work to do. I've got more that I've got to get. If we understand salvation, then there's a perfect picture that's painted. I like using stories or symbolisms to point out things, and I don't think I'm too far off because Jesus talked about parables a lot and did a bunch of different things. So this isn't per se a parable. This is just Ashley talking. But I want to give three things as an example this morning in a story. One is you have a river. Now, you didn't make the river. God did. So there's a river here. Then there's a rowboat that you were provided. And then there's you. All three of those things. A river, a rowboat, and you. The man power is in you to set in motion what God has provided. Let's say there's a river that runs right by your house, and some of you all have that. It's wide, and the water flows slow and steady. The water is flowing to a destination. Ultimately, it ends up in the ocean. It has a definite course and a definite final destination. And sitting on the bank of the river is a rowboat. So you decide to go get in the rowboat and go to the ocean. Now from here, you've got quite a journey, don't you? But there's a rowboat there, and so you paddle out in the middle of the river. And once you get there, there's one of two or three things that you can do. Now think about this. What is it that you can do? You can go out there and paddle against the current. Have you ever paddled against the current? Oh, if on a slow and steady, some of you are going, yeah, I have, and I don't like it. And some of you are like, yeah, and I do it all the time. You know, so, but I mean, we're going to go out and there's one of, you can paddle against the current. You can sit in the rowboat and you can go with the flow. How many of y'all are like, that's what I'm doing. I'm just going to sit out there and go with the flow. Or you can paddle with the current and get to your destination a lot quicker. Everybody say, I agree with that. Church, God has a plan and a purpose for you in mind. Every day of your life. He has a destination that he wants to take you to. He wants in that destination for you to change your image from you to his son. That's what he wants to do. And he's in the life-changing business, and you have a choice in this journey. You can fight against the process. Now, we have many that are saved, and instead of just going with the things of God, it's sometimes it's like, why did you do that? You're just going against the flow. It's like you're just trying to get over here and get in sin. It's just like you're trying to get out of the things of God. I'm just going to paddle against the current. And come on, everybody here knows someone like that. In fact, there's people in your life that you want the things of God for them more than they want for themselves. And it's like they work hard just getting away from them. If you've ever invited them to church and you watch them stumbling for an excuse, I have something going on. I can't remember what it is, but there's something going on. I've got this, or hey, you start talking about God, and they're just real quick to want to change the subject. But yet they'll tell you at 8 years old they gave their heart and life to Jesus. Well, I was saved. What they're doing is they've just fought against the process the whole time. The second thing you can do is sit back and do nothing, and many Christians find themselves doing nothing. They get saved, and they do whatever they want, and they just kind of go with the flow. Yeah, we'll get up and go to church on Sunday, but Friday night, we're doing whatever we want to do. They just don't line up, and we got a lot of that going on in our country. You know, just, yeah, we're going here, but we're not. And I started thinking about a river, because I'm always amazed at people that float and are really good with a paddle and can, you know, get the... If I was out there, and I know if I'm with my wife, I'm going to do the majority of the work here. And so we're going down, and we're going down. Well, there are places where you can get off, little crannies or little something right over here that you can get. That's just a word out. I couldn't think of anything else. But anyway, where there's no flow. And you can get over there, and you don't move. And then here goes my wife. She's going to lay out in the sun. Don't have to think about nothing. She would take that little out of flow bounds, you know, let's go over here. And I'm like, here we go. Come on, paddle. We're going to make it over this one. I'm not going to drag this time. I drag every time. And so we're doing all we can to get. And so, but just sit back and do nothing. You get over there in this no flow. And let me tell you, the life of a Christian doesn't need to be in the no flow area. There's no flow here. Get in the flow. And the third thing is, you can work together with him and paddle hard in the process of becoming more godly. Let me just ask you, which one of these gets you to the ocean quicker? You working with the process. Which one will get you looking more like Jesus quicker is you work on a, I got to work on this process. I got to work. I got work to do. I got work to do. There is a process, and you don't just get in the boat and wham, you're in the ocean, especially when you're in Missouri. It doesn't work that way. You get in, and there's a long process. You better bring a lot of food. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. 1 Timothy, this is the process that the Bible talks about. He says, train yourself to be godly. Church, it takes work. It takes effort. And if you look up different translations of 1 Timothy 4, you'll find all these words. You'll see it saying work. You'll see effort. You'll see training. You'll see exercise. Exercise yourself to be godly. That's an evil word. So we just talk about effort and training this morning. But effort and training, it takes effort. It takes training. Now here's going to give you another word that you'll find in there, and that's discipline. In some translations, the Amplified Bible says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Very, very important that we get this. I don't know about you, but I know that there are times in my prayer life and when I dive into the Word that I think, come on, Ashley, you need to be looking more like Jesus here. Now, you don't go out and tell everybody that, but there are times that you're thinking or you're praying or you're just kind of self-examining your life and looking at what's going on, and the mind comes about that you think, yeah, I just need to look more like Jesus here. And the question is, but how do I do that? How do I do that? How do we, in the Amplified Version, discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness? How do you discipline yourself? I'm not big on discipline for myself. But I teach it a lot in our parenting. And as I've become a grandfather, it hurts me even more. We were at a family gathering yesterday. And they have a house that has the traditional family room, living room. And so, I don't know, we're in one of those two. I never get them all mixed up. But we're in one of the rooms. And Josh is in there. And the ladies are in the other room, and they're playing a game. And Adeline sneaks out of our room and goes in there. And Josh hollers and says, Ashlyn, she's in there. And Ashlyn goes, Josh, it's your responsibility. She's your responsibility right now. So we pull him back in there. Something, I don't know how she worded it. And maybe I'm a little more emphatic, but that's what I heard because I seen Josh move. Boom. He was there. And he goes and gets Adeline and brings Adeline back in. And so he and I are sitting there trying to talk. And Josh is like this, you know, I'm over here and Adeline's right here. And he's like, this whole time, trying to talk to me, but he is not taking his eyes off her. Well, what's she want to do? She wants to, there's so many toys in this room, and there's Grandpa, and she still wants to go in the other room. She just keeps wanting to go in the other room. And Josh says, Adeline, you're not going in there. And so she goes, okay, well, then there's a rocking chair for her size. I'll be okay with a rocking chair. I'll just go stand on it. So she goes and stands on it. And then he goes over and puts her down. Here's how you sit in this chair. And then she does it again. Here's how you sit in this chair. And then she starts to do it again. He goes, if you do that one more time. And I'm like, ah, don't do it, Adeline, don't. She kept wanting to walk out of the room. Now, Adeline, you're not going out of this room. And he just kept stopping her. And then she started, and he just kind of got stern and lip. You know, oh, he should have seen mine. It's horrible. And I'm sitting here watching my granddaughter receive discipline that was needed, but it wasn't fun. Come on, discipline's not fun. Parents, you know that. It's not fun. Now, there are some times that some of you need some work on that. I'm getting ready to get happy about whooping them. But see, there's an understanding that you got to know that we don't want to discipline. We want everybody to do it right all the time. But we can get it better when we're talking about somebody else. But what about self-discipline? I know a lot of people who just don't want to self-discipline. They don't want to. And I can find areas in my own life. I'm not big on discipline. And discipline, church, is not a word you hear a lot of today. We don't like to use it. It's vacated almost every aspect of our life. In most of the culture that we live in, it has disappeared. There's just not a word that we use called discipline. But in the Bible, 64 times it's used in the New Living Translation. Proverbs speaks of it. Of discipline a lot. Proverbs 12:1. To learn, you must love discipline. Young people, hear me today. To learn, you must love discipline. And then it goes on to say, it's stupid to hate correction. There's a word, we don't use that word. The Bible did, or New Living did. And here, Proverbs 10:17. People who accept discipline are on the pathway to life, but those who ignore correction will go astray. Proverbs 15:32. If you reject discipline, you only harm yourself, but if you listen to correction, you grow in understanding. Proverbs 23:23, get the truth and never sell it. Also get wisdom, discipline, and good judgment. All right, here's the thing. There's got to be a reason for your discipline. Josh was just being mean when he wouldn't let Adeline up on the rocking chair. Or was he? Because she fell one time, and that was the last time that she was allowed to stand there, and she just barely bumped her head, and oh no, and that moved us to direction, and it moved him to complete, no way, you're not doing that again. Now we just go over and love her and show her something else. But he wants her to experience a pathway to how to use a rocking chair correctly. And that's his job, but not Michelle and I's. So we just go ride the Razor or something. We'll go do something different. But he's going to teach her how to use that rocking chair correctly. And I want you to know I appreciate that. I appreciate that in Josh and Ashlyn and how they're raising her and what they're doing. But it's still tough. And you know, it's not only tough for us, it's tough for her. Because not all the time does she see the benefit of not standing in the rocking chair. She doesn't see the benefit. Now I see it and it still hurts. He sees it and it probably hurts him a little bit. But he sees the result of it more than he sees the hurt. Come on, that's good. Are you in your life self-disciplined enough to see the result over the hurt? Because it's a pain to say, no, I'm not going. Come on, it's a pain to say, no, I'm not going to the party. Come on, young people, it may be difficult to say, no, don't touch me. We're not doing that. See, there may be some tough things that you have to say, and it hurts worse to say that than it would be just to do it, but you see a direction. You see a path. You see that discipline produces something. Well, let me just tell you, you can relate that understanding right over to discipleship. In discipleship, it hurts that you only have one day off a week, and it's Sunday, and you're going to church. And yes, there's hurt, but you see a bigger picture. See, you can see further down the line. You can see what this is producing. Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. And we've got to understand that. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Well, if you don't have discipline, you can just watch perishing take place. You got to live a disciplined life to be a disciple of Jesus. You got to live a discipled life. And to live a discipled life, you have to be disciplined. Romans 8, 28 and 29. We read 28 all the time. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And then 29 says, for God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son. Do you know that you're chosen to look like Jesus? Well, are you working to get there? Or are you just going with the flow? Or are you paddling upstream? Come on, we got to become like his son. Are y'all getting this today? We got to discipline ourselves to become more like Christ. A story of a man who became a Christian. He was young and he was wild. Young and wild. His conversion took, it was real. I mean, he was like, okay, I recognize that I need to change and I accept Jesus. And early on in his walk with Christ, he would pray this prayer. Lord, I want to be just like you, just not quite yet. Lord, I want to be you. There are probably a lot of Christians who are praying that prayer. Oh, Lord, I want to be just like you, but not quite yet. I want to live a life of holiness, but not quite yet. I want to live a life of purity, but not quite yet. So I want to be godly, but not quite yet. Now, we might not say that to God, but it's in our thinker. I'm not really interested in doing that yet. Jesus himself says, living a disciplined life, living a godly life is work. Church, I'm not here to tell you this is all easy. It takes work. It takes work to be a disciple of Jesus. Jesus himself said in Matthew 7, 14, narrow is the gate that leads to life, and few are the people who find it. Matthew 10, 39, if you don't go all the way with me through thick and thin, you don't deserve me. If your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you'll find yourself and me. Ooh, I like that. That was out of the message. I just like the way that said that. And then Luke 9, 23 says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will be the one who saves it. I like that. I like that. That just speaks to me. Jesus has never, 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 not once, ever said, get saved, it'll be easy. But do you know that the church in a lot of places is teaching that? Now, I will say, get saved and you'll have some answers. And you'll have direction and you'll have some purpose and you'll have some meaning. But I'm not once ever going to say, get saved, it'll be an easy road for you. It's not. It's work. It's work every day of your life. It's work every day. Once we're saved, we've got to live a disciplined lifestyle to get to discipleship. Our young people in CMA, our Christian school, continually find themselves, when they want to buck the system, they find themselves in disciplinary procedures. And some of them are starting to get a picture of, wait a minute, of the ones who do this, and not everybody does, but some of them want to buck the system. Well, why do I have to get punished for that? Because when you buck the system, discipline happens. And our goal is not for you to get that your whole life. It's for you to finally get where you discipline yourself that I'm not going to buck the system. See, we don't have to implement discipline if you'll implement it yourself. Three areas this morning, I want to get into these just real quick, that the Lord uses to transform his image into us. None of these will happen, and I had to say the part about discipline first. If you're not self-disciplined and you're not willing to put up with the discipline, then just go ahead and shut off this message and I'm done with you right now. Now, please don't leave. It might be too many. But what if you're not going to be self-disciplined, then this won't make any sense. But if you will implement some self-discipline, these three areas will be phenomenal for you. God uses three areas that I want to talk about today, and there may be more, but these are the three that he gave me, that he uses to help transform people. Here's the first one. God uses people to transform us. God uses people. God uses people. I dare say that all of us sitting here have been influenced by another person. Come on. In this room, have you been influenced by somebody? Of course you have. Now, your parents would be the first ones that most people would say, there's my first influence. one or two, I mean, in the nuclear family, two individuals who are involved in your conception into the human race. I mean, they were used directly by God, and they were involved with you being here today. Now, let me just say, your parents may not have planned you. You may have been an accident in their eyes. You may have been an accident in their eyes, but you are not an accident, and you were planned. God has a purpose for you here today, and you just got to get that. God has made you a part of a community. Why? Have you ever asked yourself, why in the world do I live in Missouri? Yeah, I have. And I was going to say this even if the people from Texas weren't here. But most people are like, I'm from Texas, the greatest state ever. And when people say something, I'm like, well, why do you live here? Why do you live here? And I heard the greatest reaction to that, because if it's the greatest state ever, why don't you go back? And here's what they'll say. I'm on a mission trip. A mission trip to Missouri, like God's country only is Texas. No, God made all the world. And Missouri is a part of it, and I think it's a pretty good place. But why is it here? Why is Missouri here? I don't know. Why are you here in Missouri? Because God placed, purposed, and planted you right here. You're not here by accident. You're a part of a community. Why are you in this church? Because God called you here. The Bible was real clear when God said it's not good for man to be alone. We only use that oftentimes in Scripture in relating to a woman. But you know it's not good for man to be alone at all. It's not good for man to be alone. God called us to have a community, called us to get along, called us to be people of his kingdom. See, not an earthly kingdom, but we're joined together and we're on a journey together. And here's the thing. If I went around this room today and asked each of you, what person has made the most impact in your life or on your life, you would have a name of somebody to tell me. You'd have somebody you'd say, well, it's this person. Right now you're thinking of that. Perhaps that person's still in your life. Perhaps they're not. Could be a parent, a sibling, a friend, an enemy. They made a big impact in my life and they changed how I thought. A spouse, perhaps a total stranger. But some person has made an impact on your life. And here's why. Because people influence people. Come on, are you hearing me? God uses people in a lot of ways in the transformation process. Why does he tell us to go into all the world and preach to all creation? Why does he do that? Because God uses people to influence other people for his kingdom. Aren't you glad? I'm thrilled. I can tell you, my grandfather, sitting with him countless hours, listening to the wisdom that he poured into me. I just countless hours of hearing what he had to say and going, wow. And he'd pull out scripture and I'm like, I've read the Bible and I don't even remember that one. But he just had it so ingrained in him and he would just pour it out. And an influence in my life, wow, what an influence. He was just someone who I can look back to and go, I know why God gave me a grandpa. He gave me a grandpa because that was an influence for me. God tells his children in his word, encourage one another, pray for one another, build up one another, accept one another, be an influence to one another. I mean, very important. The second thing that God uses in an area of influence is God uses circumstances. Now, I got to be very careful here. But just because he uses circumstances doesn't mean he created the circumstance, but he can use it. He may not have been the one to cause whatever you can see as harm, but he can take what was meant for harm and turn it around for your good. Just like that. You may not know the name Fanny Crosby. Of course, Melanie will know the name Fanny Crosby, but you probably know the music. Her father died before she was a year old. When she was 6 weeks old, a slight cold caused an inflammation of her eyes, and the usual doctor that they used was away from home, so a stranger was called in, and he recommended the use of these hot poultices, and I may say that wrong, but they were put on her eyes, and this action destroyed her sight. She wasn't born blind, church, you need to know this, but became blind from bad advice of a stranger. Bad advice of a stranger who wasn't even a normal doctor. Fanny could have grown up angry because she was blind, and in most people's view, she would have every right to live a better, bitter life. I mean, just bitter and mad and frustrated, but she didn't. She wrote some 6,000 hymns. She wrote a ton of them, and I can tell you there are so many that I couldn't even begin to spend the rest of the sermon, the rest of the day telling you all of them. But I want you to think about the words of a hymn that she wrote, being blind. Being blind. Here's what she wrote. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. I just love that. From a blind person penning those words, it just gives me goosebumps thinking about it. Then another song. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. From a blind person. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Don't you love that? A blind person saying, this is my story. God is good. He is a blessing to me in my life. But Fanny, you're blind. What's that have to do with anything? See, circumstances could have caused her to be bitter, but her eyes, her paddle was heading towards the goal of being like Jesus, and she started looking more and more like her. And the more you read her songs, you're like, wow, blind, yes, discouraged, uh-uh. No. I'm not going to live a discouraged, defeated life. Church, God is in the life-changing business, and he just wants you to get on board. That's what he wants. Circumstances of our life happen. Bad stuff happens to good people, but God can use any circumstance to transform us into his image. He can do that. Remember Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It's just very important. All things work together. I don't care how bad it may look. It'll work together for my good because I love him and I'm called according to his purpose. Why? Is your circumstance what it is? I don't know, but I'm going to allow God. See, that's what got to be our heart. If we're going to be on the work here, we're going to be on the move. The third thing and the last thing today, God uses spiritual disciplines to help transform us. Of all the way God uses things, this is probably the one you have the most control over. This is the one you can guide, you can direct, you can have the most influence in. This is the area can encourage you in 1 Timothy 4:7. Train yourself. Oh God, I'm just needing you to help me be godly. He just told you, train yourself. Train yourself for godliness. Train yourself. Well, I just don't know. I just have a hard time finding 5 minutes to read my Bible. Then you're coming directly against the word because the Bible said to train yourself. Well, I just don't know what I'm doing. I just don't. Well, get some help. But you went and did that. I love it when someone calls and says, hey, pastor, well, how do you read this? Or what's going on here? Can I get some direction here? I'm needing some. Well, you're training yourself. Yeah, you called to get some help. There's a lot of different people who are very profound on the word. Train yourself to be godly. Tom Landry, the coach of the Dallas Cowboys football team for almost three decades, he once said, the job of a football coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted. Let me read that again in case you didn't hear it. The job of a football coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted. Your job in life, a lot of times, is to make yourself do what you may not want to do in the flesh to achieve what you're wanting to do in the Spirit of God. See, I want to achieve some things for the Lord Jesus. I want to do some things. That's my heart. I want to look more like Him. And Christians are called to make themselves do something they wouldn't naturally do so that they can pursue a life of godliness, of holiness, in order to become what they've always wanted. See, how many here today, and you don't have to raise your hand, would say, I want to look more like Jesus. You got your work cut out for you. You got your work cut out for you. But allow people who are putting in your life to help you. Allow circumstances of life to just point to Him in everything you do. And come on, get some discipleship. Get some discipline into your life and start saying, I'm going to get into the Word. Because Ephesians 2:10, I'm His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. And God prepared these beforehand so that I could walk in them. So I just made that, I own that for myself. That's what I'm to do. International Standard Version, I like this. For we are His masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared long ago to be our way of life. Church, this morning, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. How many say, God has a plan for my life? Let's just say that. God has a plan for my life. Now it came out your mouth. Now get it from right here down here. To where I'm going to live every day purposefully walking in that plan. Oh, my wife just said something and I'm getting ready to say it right back. And that thought goes in your head and you're like, whoa, wait. Stop for a second. Breathe. What would God say? There are times I don't know and that means He wouldn't say anything. And so you just... See, there are times that situations at work are about to explode. And you're the only one that everybody sees as any form of godliness there. Are you trained up to have the right response when that happens? Are you trained up? Come on, we got work to do. If we're not trained up, we're not going to help the cause of Christ. You know, when I was talking about the areas that God will speak into our lives, and the first one I mentioned was people. Let me just turn that around a little bit. Are you the person that God's using to speak into someone else's life? You're not if you're not trained up and disciplined. Come on, we got work to do. We got Christmas coming up. Are y'all excited about Christmas? I'm pretty pumped about it. Are you pumped about it just for what you're going to get? Or have you trained yourself to the point, I cannot wait to see how I'm going to be able to bless so-and-so, so-and-so. So-and-so. Oh, it's going to be a... Train yourself up for godliness. I think God just loves it when all of a sudden you're just walking down, you've been doing things pretty good, and things are going, all of a sudden you're like, wow, that was good. Opened the mailbox and the IRS made a mistake. Praise God. Opened the mailbox and, for the last 3 months, I've been getting a check every month. And I'm not trying to talk prosperity message. I didn't ask for this. They've messed up my insurance, and then one of them is just the insurance gave this big refund. And I just opened the mailbox, and here's $20, here's $30, here's $318. Yeah, that's half of a new gun right there. You start. I'm just kidding. It's half of a bracelet with some bling on it. That's what it is. Well, God just, don't you think He has a desire to just go, let me just watch the reaction on my child's face when they open this blessing. So if you're starting to look more like Jesus, that starts becoming your mindset. Wait till they find out this. Wait, oh, it's going to, But you never get that way if you don't live a disciplined life. You don't allow people to speak into you. Come on, come on. You don't get that way if you don't allow circumstances to point to Jesus, and you don't discipline yourself spiritually to get in the Word daily and make the things of God priority. Come on, we can do that. Let's get Christian Ministry Church being the one that's a light on a hill. It's one that people are seeing as, man, there's some discipleship going on there. Something's happening. They won't know what it is, but you will, because you're training yourself to be godly. Are we ready to be transformed? Are we ready to be transformed? Come on, I'm ready. I'm ready to be transformed. Let's do what we can do to walk the transformation lifestyle. Y'all stand with me this morning.
For more information about all that is happening here at Christian Ministries Church, visit cmchurch.net or like us on Facebook, Christian Ministries Church, Southwest Missouri. Have a very blessed day.